There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more? Check out my podcast. Hi, I'm Kadra, the host of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. I tell tales every single week that have left me perplexed. You'll hear true crime cases, mysterious disappearances, learn about cults, hear baffling sightings of cryptids, chilling paranormal encounters, and even dark and weird history. I release new episodes every Wednesday, and you can listen anywhere podcasts are available. I'm also on Patreon, and you can even watch me on YouTube. Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. Stories that will leave you perplexed.
Believe me, if I started murdering people, there'd be none of you left.
We are all evil in some form or another.
I'm not guilty. Does that include the time I stole?
On the morning of May 23rd, 2019, around 8:30 in the morning, a woman taking her dog for a morning walk. Wait, isn't this how most true crime stories start? Probably. If you have a dog, don't walk them in wooded areas. Which this particular woman wasn't actually walking her dog in a wooded area per se. She was just walking her dog in her neighborhood on Inglewood Drive in Pensacola, Florida. Pensacola is in the Escambia County and has a population of about 54,000 people. It's on the north side of the Pensacola Bay, east of Mobile, Alabama, and west of Tallahassee. Inglewood Drive comes to this sandy bit of road that is a dead end. It's edged with trees and has become a place where, for some reason, people dump odds and sods, usually like building materials and that kind of thing, because no one lives there and I guess it's cheaper than the city dump. It's actually called the Clark Sand Pit. It's kind of fenced off with, there are no trespassing signs, but it is not stopping people from dumping their crap there. But at least it's mostly out of the viewing pleasure of the residents there. It was originally a sediment mine with like a pond, and now it's just a bit of an eyesore. Anywho, as you probably expected, the woman that was walking the dog, the dog was wandering, like pulling into the tree line, and didn't really want to be called back, having its attention on something that the woman realized stunk to high heaven. So she wandered as close as she dared and saw a little bit of skin from under a tarp and bits of duct tape here and there. And so then she yanked the dog away and called the police, as you would. And the woman had been right not to poke around too much any further and actually remove the tarp, because what was underneath was rather frightful. A man's body with his wrists, legs, and his nose and mouth covered in gray duct tape. In fact, his whole face had been kind of completely wrapped around the head with tape and was beginning the process of decomposition under the warm Florida sun. And police found some orange string or twine that was not degraded in any way. Like most of the other items that were in the piles and all the trash that was around in the area had signs of having been there for quite some time, like it was weathered. Whereas this string was fresh, like it was that kind of that plasticky, smooth, rope-like twine that's used to tie like building supplies up. They also noticed a half sheet of drywall, which I think you Americans call sheetrock, that also looked like it had been very recently discarded there. And the drywall, or sheetrock, was laying face up. So like the white side was up and it was laying in the sort of the sandy area that kind of served as a little bit of a road, like at least a place where you could like back up your vehicle, do your illegal dumping, and then drive away. And it was laying face up, so the white side was upwards. And on that white part was a very clear tire track and also a shoe print from what looked to be kind of like a hiking type of shoe. It was probably a man's. And the man's body was still intact enough that his fingerprints were able to be taken. Often, once the decomposition process starts, the skin on the fingers can start to what they call slip or slough off. It's kind of disgusting to think about, but also I find it kind of fascinating. Anyways, they were able to get him printed at the scene, and then they rushed those prints back to the lab so that they could try to identify him. And they wanted to identify him as quickly as possible. And they came back to 54-year-old Charles Locke. And his address was somewhat nearby. It was about 3 miles away. And so only about 3 hours after discovering his body, the investigators were able to make their way to his house.
Believe me, if I started murdering people, there'd be none of you left.
We are all evil in some form or another.
I am not guilty. Does that include the time I stole a comic book when I was 5 years old?
Now, Charles' house was a little bit decrepit and kind of run down, like the lawn was overgrown with weeds. And the siding hadn't been really taken care of. And giving the appearance that Charles probably didn't have a lot of money. So the police walked around the property and like knocked on the door to see if like anybody else was home. I mean, obviously they knew that Charles wouldn't be answering. They didn't get any answer at all. However, they did notice that there was trash cans that were, they sort of lined the edge of both his, like Charles's property and his neighbor's. And in this trash was some of that orange twine that looked very similar to the twine that had been found at the location where Charles' remains had been found. And also broken up bits of drywall or sheetrock, just kind of resting on top of some other trash bags. Charles had been the youngest in his family with siblings Katie and Bernie, and he had a very close relationship with his younger sister Katie. He had been married for 17 years, but the marriage had ended, and Charles had been unlucky enough to either after the breakup of his marriage or before that, suffer a stroke that left him with some physical challenges. But despite the challenges, Charles always kept himself really busy. He was kind of known as being very friendly and chatty with his neighbors. All of his neighbors really liked him a lot. They found him very personable. It sounds like after his wife left him that he was a little bit lonely. So he would spend a lot of his time outside of his house just talking to neighbors and being friendly with kind of everyone as a way of having some kind of like connections. So police knocked on the door of the neighbor's house who shared the driveway where these trash cans were, but nobody answered at the time, and they were finally able to get a hold of the homeowner, who was 44-year-old Calvin Allison. He was the one that lived next door to Charles with his wife, Wendy, and they also had two kids. Calvin agreed to come in and talk to the investigators just to see if he had seen or heard anything from next door. Calvin himself had originally been from Oklahoma, but had moved to Pensacola with his wife and his two kids, and he was working for the utility company Regional Services in the sewer division. Calvin had come into the station and was casual about it, just a little bit chatty, just your normal husband and dad. However, they did find it a little bit odd that he never really asked any questions about why he was there. Like, what is this all about? Like, I'd be all over it asking all kinds of questions about what's going on, what was found where, and basically being a nosy ninny about everything and probably looking suspicious at best, just because of my morbid curiosity that I have. But I would think, even if I wasn't like a true crime weirdo, I'd still at least be asking, like, you know, what are you looking for from me? Like, what can I help you with? They also noticed his Ariette boots, which looked a lot like the ones that had left this shoe print on the sheetrock piece that had been at the scene. So police chatted with him about his life and just small talk in general. And then they brought up the subject of Charles.
How long have you known Charles for?
We met him a little bit after we moved in. We talked to him a couple times, but then we didn't really start talking to him until when Spoth left him. And he came over, and
When did his wife leave him, by the way?
A year and a half ago.
Okay.
After she left him, she went to Texas and took everything. He came over and was talking to Jared that was saying, well, he's a mechanic, wanting to look at his truck and his car. And then a couple of weeks later or months later, I can't remember, he had a stroke. We didn't see him. And he had another one. He was driving. No, I think he was at work driving and had the stroke. My wife said, if you need anything, just let us know and we'll help you out.
So you guys,
From then, that's when we really started being friends. He really needed help, so.
Did he come over frequently, or did you guys go over there frequently to see him, or were those?
About once a week, we would take him a plate if we cooked out, but he would come over sometime to sit down. He came over for Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner. We came over anytime we cooked out. I mean, he didn't want to, we could watch the football games, we'd have big cookouts, but he didn't want to watch sports. He just came for the food and for company, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you probably got lonely over there. You know, even with the dog, I'm not sure that was before or after the dog, but.
A little of both. A little bit of both.
When was the last time you had seen Charles?
Sunday night. When I took him to play, took him a pork chop dinner. We cooked on the grill.
Do you ever go inside of his home at any point?
Yeah, I went in that time.
All right, when his wife was with him, had you ever been in there?
No, we didn't know him when his wife was there.
Okay, gotcha. I was just curious.
Other than we talked to him, they used to have pit bulls, and we were scared. We didn't know if they could jump the fence or not, so my wife went over and talked to him, and then she left not too long later.
So Calvin and his wife, Wendy, were quite friendly with him and felt that they were sort of compelled to help him out once in a while. And as Charles spent a lot of his time in his yard chatting with neighbors, it seemed that they actually had gotten him to know him quite well. He was well known in the neighborhood in general. What's a little bit interesting is that Calvin at first talks about Charles like he was just someone that he just saw kind of now and again in passing. But the more he starts sort of talking about mentioning Thanksgiving and Christmas and that he had dinner with them then, that sounds a little bit more like they were friends, like not just acquaintances.
Did Charles ever talk about, did he ever have any dates, anybody that would be intimate with him?
He didn't talk anything like that with me. I mean, every time he came over, it was either just to eat or he wanted us to give him some pawn.
Okay. So it was just kind of like, yeah. You guys were friends, but you weren't like.
Not like, you know, go shoot pool or hang out or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Like acquaintances.
Well, meanwhile, as Calvin is sort of chit-chatting with the two officers questioning him, there was a crime scene team that was at Charles's house that had been kind of going through the house, just trying to get a sense of what had happened and who had he met his fate with. So the crime scene guys are like texting the officers with the information that they are slowly gathering. Well, some information was a little bit more quickly gathered than some other stuff, like the fact that a bloody and violent crime had taken place in Charles's living room based on the pools of blood kind of all over the carpet, the walls. There were drag marks through the kitchen and into the hallway, indicating that Charles had met his end in his own home. And once the fact that there had been evidence and what was technically Calvin's garbage that matched the scene where Charles' body had been found, they also got a search warrant for Calvin and his wife's house, much to Calvin's wife's surprise and kind of what the fuckery. And a quick check of the tires was also done on Calvin's truck. And yes, those matched the ones that were left on this sheetrock piece that was discarded as well at the scene. And so they asked him about that. And Calvin was just as calm as he had been when he first arrived and just said, no, I didn't do nothing to no one.
So back on what we were saying, though. So Sunday night, you see him. You guys brought food over. You went to his house. His hand up. How long were you there for?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
5 minutes.
Your wife took away, yeah, or just you?
Just me.
Okay.
Wife was next door. Cassie was there on the phone with her.
So Cassie was with your wife?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So what time was this about approximately that you brought it over?
Like five something maybe. So four, five, I don't know.
I noticed that you had already started purchasing some of the sheetrock and stuff like that, you know, the boards. Have you got any of those put up yet, or is that just something that's been sitting there?
That's been sitting there. It's been all over the house.
Okay. So are you guys going to be replacing the inside of the bathroom with the sheetrock?
We've done did all that.
Okay.
That's what's left over. There was some by the garage. There's been stuff out by the road.
Have you been trying to sell any of it or get rid of it?
No. My wife's like, just save it in case we need it.
Okay. You haven't tried, none of your buddies asked for any or anything like that?
No.
Have you been doing any gardening work? I know Charles did some gardening work. Do you ever see him with that or anything like that? Or have you done any?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, orange tag.
It's like twine.
Twine, yeah. Have you ever picked up a bay of hail?
Yeah, I know what.
Hey, Chief.
Pine straw is the word I was looking for. Thank you, Sarge.
I know what you're talking about, quine.
Yeah, there's twine. And you know, I had to tie him up in the square.
So I haven't used any of that.
Okay. There was some out by the trash down there. I didn't know if you put that there or who put that there or where that came from.
There's garbage all down there, but it's not ours.
Okay. So it's not your stuff. And mind you, the reason we brought that up is because there's some near the street rock as well. You know what I mean? And like I said, our biggest thing we look at for an issue when we go there is, you know, trash and anything else. What's going on? You know, what we can see from the scene, we're just trying to piece everything together, you know, whether he had somebody working on his place or not, you know.
He hasn't had anybody working on his place.
Now, the stuff in the garbage can, the tile that's been busting out, that's yours.
Yeah.
That's by the road.
Yeah, that's been there for 2 months.
And when asked about, like, the stuff in the garbage, he doesn't know. He says that stuff's been there for, like, months. Now, interestingly, inside Calvin's house was the keys to Charles's house. And also his wallet and his checkbook. Now, his explanation for that didn't really make a lot of sense.
Did Charles's vehicle was broken into? Did you ever hear about that?
Yes, he came over our house, said that his wallet was stolen.
Okay. And did he ever say about anything that might have happened with the wallet? Did anybody use any of his cards or money?
He said that he bought someone who used it, but he'd canceled the card and he was using his checks.
Okay. So he was using the checks?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So none of his cards were. And then how recent was this? Because we don't really have a time frame.
About a month ago.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Well, like I said, you know, what we're going on here is obviously Charles is murdered. There was a lot of foul play in this situation. And it's my sergeant's job, my job, and every investigator up here that we solve his case, figure out who murdered him. That way we can bring justice to what happened, as well as we bring peace to his family.
You can make your penalty.
No, sir.
No criminal history.
I have a battery charge. Yeah.
That's it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, this gentleman was your damn person. I don't know what his private life was like. I'm not sure if he ever told you what his private life was like. But what's important is we get the absolute truth for being rough.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And I'll shoot straight to the chase, okay? When we found Charles, there were some certain items there that we found peculiar. Okay. stuff that was unique and stuff that kind of why we were asking about the trash and everything else.
Yes, sir.
You know, particularly what we had out there and why, like I said, we're talking about the twines, we're talking about the drywall and stuff like that. Okay. Do you know anything else Charles might have been more involved in?
He stayed at home all the time. I mean, other than taking Cookie. I mean, I don't know what he's doing in them hours, you know. Like I said, he'd be gone from, I don't know what time he would leave, because I'd leave at 6:30, and then he'd get back around 10 or 11, so.
My big concern here is what we have out there is, like I said, items that were consistent with items that were found between both of you guys' yard, okay? And this is the reason why we have here, we're asking you, trying to come to a bottom with things. And what's difficult for us is, mind you, I know you love your children, you love your wife, okay? And I know your wife's probably worried about what's going on too, very curious. I know she's gone through a lot with this probate stuff, okay? I'm sure she hasn't told your children what's going on, because I'm sure they met Charles and I'm sure they like Charles, okay? Where we're at and what we're looking at is, I know these are people that are important to you, okay? And I know something else happened, okay? Investigators obviously did a search warrant on both residences, okay? I would love for you to help me find out why we have some items of Charles's inside your residence.
Okay.
We have some keys. We have some other items. Is there any particular reason why?
His spare keys he gave us.
Is that for why he gave you any spare keys?
In case he lost the other ones.
Okay.
When he lost his wallet, I have his checkbook. He used his checks. He gave me that in case he lost his wallet again.
You have any other items of Charles's inside your house?
No, sir.
So, Charles's cards were stolen. Who's this gentleman to you?
That's E-Rail.
Who's he? Oh, is it Darrell?
E-Rail. He says he goes at your house. He's just been staying there for a few days.
But real quick, I'm gonna interject for just a second. I'm gonna let him talk or whatever. All right, Calvin, I want you to make one thing very clear to you. All right, we don't pull no punches. We don't bullshit. All right, listen, just hear me out. Okay, we do our homework before we come in here. You don't have no criminal history. All right, the last thing you want to be painted as is a monster, because the only thing we leave in this world is our legacy.
Right, yes, sir.
No matter what you have, it's our legacy.
Yes, sir.
And no matter what you did, how you did it, or whatever, your children, at least your children, I can't speak for your wife, but your children are always going to love you.
Yes, sir.
No matter what. All right? Everything we do is videotape. There's no secret about that. Okay? So, this is whether Calvin is this heinous monster. Okay? That they look at as a killer. Okay? Or we know what kind of lifestyle he was into. Did something go wrong and then something went bad and you had to take care of something and do something? Listen, hear me out. Okay? Hear me out. Because if that's what happened, then that's what happened. Because honesty, even though you think not honesty, will get you so much further than sitting here on this tape. Because if you go to jail for this murder, okay, there won't be another chance except on the day of trial for them to see who and what you are.
While police are collecting stuff at both Charles and Calvin's house, they come across boxes and a supply of women's clothing and underwear items in Charles's house. Now, I will add that Charles's wife did leave him from that home. Like, she had been living there as well. And it was only about a year or so before. So she might have just left some things there. But the police don't really know, like, I don't know what they're trying to do here. But they come up with this theory that Charles was into cross-dressing or had some kind of fetish thing. Maybe he did, but I think that's a little bit presumptive of police that are supposed to be going strictly by evidence. But they decide, rightly or wrongly, that is up to you to decide. And you know how when police are questioning someone, they'll sometimes say something like, oh, you know, if it was an accident and you just got scared, like, we would understand that. You know, just kind of tell us what happened. They know it wasn't an accident, but it's kind of like a way of them giving the person a bit of an out or like an excuse just to get them talking. And, you know, maybe they'll trip themselves up with the lies that they're telling, or at least confess to being there or responsible for the victim dying, and then they can prosecute from there. Well, this is kind of what the police were doing, or what they were going for, when they used this little collection that he had of these women's garments. I mean, I don't even know if you can call it that, of Leva's things like bras and underwear, as proof that he was in this alternative lifestyle, and suggest, well, you know, maybe he made a pass at you, like that would explain your rage. Now, motive is not actually important in murder cases, but it may not be in a legal sense, but you cannot tell me that juries don't want to hear a motive. So anyways, this apparently got Calvin's brain ticking away, and sure enough, he runs with it.
Because, just like he said, he's going through some things that we have found. We go back to the things that we found at the scene. Ask you about your boots, okay? We have your boot print at the scene, okay? We have your car tires at the scene. We have the tarp in the trash can, what it was bought in, at your house. The sheetrock that is at the scene, okay? The same UPC code is on your front porch, Chief. You with me?
Yes, sir.
So now is the time you have children and family to save face and better make
do anything.
Well, then explain it away. You tell me, all right, you don't say you didn't do anything. You explain to me, how did Calvin Howson's boot print get there at the scene? Because we have your truck. We're seizing your truck, okay? We are in your house as we speak. We see where he was dragged from the house and back to the yard. He raked your yard in the last couple days, okay? We're at your house now. We don't miss nothing, okay? So you tell me, how does your boot print get out there at the scene? How did your tire, your left front tire, because you have four different tires on that truck, your left front tire's cupped? Okay, you know what that is, right? Cupped. All right, it's when you ran over the sheetrock, all right, it left the black tire marks on there that matches your tire. Then that brown piece of facing boarding, okay, that you used to repair your shower with, in this photo right here, right there, the board, that's there at the scene also with the same tile on it. Now, either you got some shitty luck, okay?
I didn't do it.
Who did it?
I can't tell you, but I didn't do it.
But you were there.
I wasn't there, Calvin. I've been at work and with...
Calvin, listen, guy. Remember what he said, okay? This is an opportunity for you to explain and let us help us.
This don't, you're out, like, hold on.
This doesn't disappear. And this is the type of thing that you said, you want to go out with your children thinking that you're a monster? Or do you want to go out to say that we owned up and you want to tell us what happened?
I didn't do it.
Calvin, I understand what we're coming at. This is not, this is the chance to win the lottery, buddy. You know what I mean? And to top it all off, I'm not sure if you're aware, but where Charles was found, there's one camera, there's one way in, one way out of that place. And one of the neighbors got a camera sitting right on that road.
And you're familiar with it because your friends live off of Sorrent. And it's just on the other side of Sorrent. All right? Because let's see here. This is where your checkbook, let's go right here. This is where the checkbook and the keys are found. Okay? So there's a checkbook of his. All right? So, all right, we go to there. There's the tarp that matches up. That Ozark Trail come from Walmart. Okay? Then this guy shows up at the house. I'll tell you what I think. This is what I think. I think you're a good person. I think you're a family man, and I think Charles has helped y'all out at some point in time, just as y'all's helped him, all right? But Charles has a little fetish that a lot of people don't know about. You know, you can't miss it because if you walk in his house, can't miss it. He's a cross-dresser, got fake boobs, got dresses, got all kinds of stuff. I think Charles come on to you.
No.
And shit went bad. If that's the case, I can buy that. If shit went bad and you got a guy that has homosexual tendencies and you're not a homosexual and he puts his hand on you.
That never happened.
Okay. Then, I'm telling you, I'm all ears. I'll take nibs. You tell me.
We didn't know what happened.
You tell me, how did all the things I just showed you? I've showed you some of my cards. Okay. That duct tape, that's going to seal the fate because of the way duct tape is. Okay. So you tell me then how all those items I just laid out to you got there 5 feet away from the body. I'm listening.
What we want to know is what happened. We need a story, Calvin.
Did somebody borrow your boots?
No.
Okay.
Where did this happen?
Where do you think it happened?
I don't know. You said it was in his house.
What was in his house?
You just said he was drug out of his house.
I said you could see where he was drug through the yard, and you wrecked your yard because he was drug out the back. And it looks like
that's what you just said.
Right. Did you not wreck your yard?
Yes, I told him. I've been cleaning.
You told me you couldn't wreck your yard.
Yes, I did. At the very first, when we asked about the, when I told you about the pool, and I said, I've been raking and watering, and the grass isn't growing.
You told me there was a part in the back that doesn't grow, but you never told me your rank. And you said you just moved that thing, moved the pool.
Yeah, and I said I've been raking and watering, and I can't get the grass to grow.
Calvin, understand as we sit here, these type of situations get worse and worse, okay? And what we do for a living is, like I said, is bring justice, okay? He has a family. He has sisters. He has kid, okay?
Yes, sir.
You have kids. You have a family.
You understand if you were put in the same type of situation, how bad it would be and how heartbroken you would be.
Yes, sir.
Especially the way he was found.
Yes, sir.
I need to know what happened over there, Calvin.
Well, I don't know, sir. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
You just kill people?
I don't kill people. I didn't do it.
Who did it then? You had somebody borrow your boots and you had somebody borrow your truck? I show you right there. There's your boot print. Right there. Let me see the bottom of your boots. Yeah. That's your boot print right there.
But you understand what we're doing and how this works, okay? Like my sergeant was saying, if this gentleman made a pass at you, I know you said that's not the way it went down. I would like to know what way it went down, okay? Because if he did something to try to hurt you, that's how we have to figure it out. But you have to understand is that we have to know the story. We have everything leading up to it, but we don't have the story.
Okay. Calvin, look at me.
Tell me what happened, buddy. I ain't here to mess you up or anything, man. I need to know what happened over there.
You tried to kiss him.
Did you try to kiss him?
Grab me. Kind of push him down. I don't think he hit his head on me. I don't know what it was. The blood was coming out.
It's okay, Cal.
No, it's not okay.
Look at me. Cal.
Cal. Boss. Look at me. I need your side, full side of the story.
So try to kiss you. So he came on to you. He hit his head. He started bleeding.
I didn't know what to do.
Just got nervous.
Embarrassed. Why would he do that to me?
What day was this, Kel?
Sunny Eva.
This happened when you brought the food over?
Yes, sir.
Kind of why he tried to know you. Because you have a wife and kids. And Charles dying soon?
I'm not sure.
Did you just leave?
Yes, sir. I'll wait there about 5 minutes. He was twitching.
Do next.
Wouldn't do anything for 2 days.
I didn't know what to do. Can understand you're scared. I get it, man. Calvin, not by yourself here, yeah?
Oh, well, my life is over.
Got a hold of me.
And then my kids are...
Calvin, I know you say you didn't know what to do. You're nervous. Did you... Obviously, you brought the body over there, right? How'd you take him over there?
The truck.
Did you use anything to cover him up?
What do you mean, covering up?
Like, I thought he was wrapped up, but did you have him in, like, any type of trash can or anything like that, just in the back? What time did you take him down there?
I don't know. It was in the evening.
In the evening? Were your kids gone already at this point?
Yes, sir.
Did you think about calling an ambulance?
Yeah.
Why didn't you?
I panicked and ran. I went home.
Did you tell your wife?
She doesn't know.
How long did it take? Again, until you left them there for what, 2 days? Sunday night till Tuesday? Why did it take you so long?
I couldn't go back.
How'd you feel when you went over there?
Disgusted. Sick. Sad.
You have no idea what he hit his head on?
I don't know if it was the coffee table or the side of the entertainment center.
The blood that was in the living room? Next to the living room?
That's where he hit. I rolled over right there.
The medical examiner's autopsy report would indicate that Charles' cause of death had been a combination of blunt force trauma, but also asphyxiation. So basically that he had been beaten about the head, probably with something that would have not likely been enough to kill him outright. But then the duct tape that was placed over his nose and mouth for sure would have done that. So whatever the scenario, the killer had struck Charles and then suffocated him before or after binding his wrists and ankles. And normally, once a person is dead, there isn't really much need to tape their wrists and legs up. So that's kind of why they're thinking that. Like you're done fighting by them normally, I would think. So something messed up has happened here. It couldn't just be that Charles had made a pass at him and then Calvin lashed out in anger, striking him. Because if that was the case, like, why would you stick around to, you know, like, bind him with tape, wrap him in a tarp, and then dispose of his body? And without any real attempt to clean up the crime scene, like, that's very strange. So there had to be more to it than this homophobic rage moment that he had. But they let him call his wife and tell him, you know, that he won't be coming home for a while. And he feeds her this story about it being an accident.
I know this could be hard for you.
But we did have to notify your wife what's going on. But she does want to talk to you. I know you said you didn't want to. It would be hard to. Okay. But I think it's only fair that you talk to her too. I'll make sure that this gets to her. That this will get to the family, okay?
Hey. It's gone. I did something bad.
Mikey.
I took him the food. Want to set it down in the kitchen? He made a pass at me and I pushed him and he fell. His head, blood went everywhere and I panicked.
Why would you not say something? Like, why would there was an accident, Calvin?
I don't know, Wendy. I panicked.
Calvin.
I know. I don't know, Wendy. I'm so sorry for what I'm putting you and the kids through.
Why was she late? I mean, I don't...
I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, Calvin. Like, why would you not have called 911? It was an accident.
That's what I've been... I don't know, Wendy. I just...
What do you mean you need to pass at you?
He tried to kiss me.
What?
I don't know.
Can I tell her? Everything you want to tell her.
He plays on the other fence. He's a cross-dresser.
So what are you being charged with right now?
I don't know. Wendy, probably, I don't know. I don't know. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, Calvin. I'm gonna leave the kids down here. I'm gonna go get your dad and I'm gonna come home, okay?
So, listen. I'm so sorry.
I don't understand. This is crazy, baby. You made such a bad decision. Like, you've done some stupid shit, but guess this lady. Oh, I'm stupid.
The charges originally were second-degree murder. Now, Wendy does go on to divorce Calvin. The proceedings were finalized in 2021. And at the time, she petitioned the court to have Calvin's parental rights terminated as well. In October of 2019, Calvin pleaded not guilty, that it was self-defense. However, later investigation and a little bit of a deeper dive into Calvin's possible motive found that Calvin, in the days just before Charles's death, had started draining some money from Charles's bank account in fairly small chunks of like several hundred dollars at a time. So Calvin was found guilty of second-degree murder, grand theft, and tampering with evidence, like a person's body is legally considered evidence. So don't mess with dead bodies. I shouldn't have to say that, but apparently I do.
The judge sentenced him this afternoon to serve the rest of his life in prison. This comes about 6 months after he killed his neighbor.
Charles's sister, Katie, addressed the court in her victim impact statement. She actually wasn't able to read it all without starting to sob, so she passed it off to the prosecutor to finish. But it said in part, "The sad part here is that he considered you his friend. He was unaware that this friendship would ultimately cost him his life. How sad that you would use someone who trusted you, who had lent you money, and then for you to kill him so horrendously. I hope the image that you were shown of my brother during your interrogation will haunt you every single moment for the rest of your miserable life." And he was sentenced to life in prison for murder, 3 years for the grand theft, and 5 years for tampering with the evidence, all to be served consecutive with his life sentence. Oh, and also $3,121 in restitution to be paid towards Charles's estate costs. But wait, we're not quite done with this story yet. Back in March of 2014, 41-year-old Tina Gwen Sisk Gavage was staying with either friends or relatives, it's not really clear which it was, and was last seen around the 16th of March that year. Tina was a mom of three. She had a daughter, Jaden, and then two sons, Braden and Blade. She was living in Ardmore, Oklahoma at the time that she went missing. She also at that time had a cast on her leg from some kind of break or injury. Now, although it was a little bit normal for Tina to kind of fall off of contact with her family for a bit, after like birthdays and holidays passed by with no word from her. They got concerned and then filed a missing persons report. I wasn't able to track down very much information on Tina and the circumstances around her disappearance, like, at all. But according to official Oklahoma missing persons sites, the family was concerned because she would not willingly leave her children and her family, like, indefinitely. And she had not been heard from at all. The actual dates of her disappearance are also a little bit vague, but I believe she was officially reported missing in January of 2015. Although the last reported time of anyone seeing her was in March of 2014. Now, at some point before 2019, her remains were found in Lone Grove in a shallow grave. Due to the time that had passed from her disappearance to her death, they were not able to determine her cause of death. I bring this case up because in November of 2019, after Calvin had been sentenced, he was named as a person of interest in Tina's case.
I overheard the conversation with your wife.
What about Tina?
What about Tina?
Be honest, Calvin.
I didn't have anything to do with Tina. That was all Billy.
How do you know?
It had to be Billy. I didn't have anything to do.
Her cousin was staying with us and was found at one of our friends' house. They were strung out on meth.
What's Tina's last name? Just so we know.
Tina Gabbox.
Yeah, was that reported obviously to us?
Yes. We gave statements and everything. I gave DNA, all that.
And who did she say did that? I know she said it was somebody else.
Well, it was found on Billy Carter's land.
In Longfort? See, I'm not familiar with that case. When did that happen?
Years ago.
Okay.
It was in Oklahoma.
Oh, so it's not even here?
Yeah, it was in Carter County.
Okay. And you rolled them up there, obviously?
Yes.
Fine. Okay. Gotcha. They ever resolved that case?
I don't know what's happened with it.
However, to date, they have not been able to link Calvin directly with her death. Now, I have no idea what is leading the police to believe this, but we know that Calvin was from Oklahoma and was living there until probably 2016 when he moved to Pensacola with his family. It just drives me really nuts that I wasn't able to bring up very much about Tina's disappearance at all. Like, why wasn't this in the papers even at the time? Oklahoma publishes, like, back taxes that are owed and the results of traffic court. They can't write an article about a missing mother.
Allison was also a person of interest in a cold case murder in Ardmore, Oklahoma. That is about halfway between Oklahoma City and Dallas, Texas. Investigators there are still working to find out if Allison killed Tina Sisk Gavich back in 2014.
Well, anyway, so that was the murder of Charles Locke and the mysterious death of Tina Sisk, which I really hope that their family gets some answers on. I always like to think that there's lots of stuff happening in the background that nosy people like me just can't get their hands on. So hopefully there's going to be an update on Tina's case in the near future. I just hate to think of cases sitting in boxes on shelves and no one working them. But regardless, I will be back next week with another sad, terrible, awful story for you. And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Just a reminder that you can skip the ads by signing up on Patreon to A Million Other Choices. If you or someone you love has been a victim of violent crime, please use your online directory to access victim services available in all provinces, territories, and states. You can find specialized services for children, Aboriginal people, and survivors of domestic violence. Some provinces have injury compensation or financial assistance programs. If you are in immediate danger, call 911, or if you are thinking of suicide, please call or text 988.